Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hola. It is the end of Money March, you guys. I'm so excited that you guys have joined us on this journey with us. And we have an amazing guest to end March, and that is Tiffany, the Budgetnista. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about...
The antidote of shame is voice.
Identifying a financial accountability partner in your tribe.
How to talk finance in your relationship, whether that's your lover in your life or your business partner.
Why you need 4 accounts.
Why it's okay to pay certain bills late. And how you can get debt collectors off your back.
And why the only way to make a change in a community is through the woman. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Make sure you follow the Budgetnista. Make sure you join our Patreon, because in April we are going to be going on a money journey with you guys. We're stepping up. We're holding ourselves accountable for this last month and are going to be doing monthly Zooms with our community, checking in on our financial health, literacy, wholeness. Make sure you go to patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices.
Enjoy.
Welcome back to Good Moms, Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
And it's Wednesday.
Happy hump day.
We're so excited because this is the last episode of Money March. It's been a wonderful March. I hope you guys have been leveling the fuck up.
Feeling wealthy.
Feeling wealthy, feeling rich, walking on money, like Linda said.
Yes.
Surrounded by money. Just money everywhere, all over. Money flows abundantly to you. I hope you've been, you know, repeating that the affirmations that we've been sharing weekly. I hope that you've been signing up for all the different courses where you can level up on your financial literacy. It doesn't have to be scary. We don't need to navigate in the space in fear anymore. We are not doing that. We are done with those days. It's over. And on that note, let's pull this tarot card.
Okie dokie, shuffle queen.
All right. Here, the 6 of Pentacles.
Very interesting. The 6 of Pentacles appears to be a man in a wealthy red coat.
A wealthy red
coat. That's what it says.
Very wealthy.
You may be like the wealthy man in this card, sharing your wealth and abundance with others.
Ooh.
Yeah, he is. He's in a red robe, handing out coins to 2 beggars who kneel at his feet. In his hand, he holds a balanced scale representing fairness and equality. And this card reflects a state of financial security and generosity. You can generously use your wealth and abundance for the benefit of others. But it also speaks to receiving generosity and the feeling of relief that accompanies much-needed assistance. The 6 of Pentacles is a card giving and receiving. Sometimes you are not the giving end. Other times you may be the receiving end. It's an ongoing cycle of life, and this card serves as a reminder that the balance can change at any time. Even if you are surrounded by wealth, there will be times when you need help and support of others. So be generous with your resources, as you may need the support in the future. You may be like this wealthy man in this card, sharing your wealth and abundance with others. You have accumulated great wealth and are now in a position to offer financial assistance to those in need. You give generously through charitable donations, tithing, or fundraising, and enjoy the good feelings associated with helping others, even if you are not financially wealthy. You offer up your time, energy, love, and support to those who are in need, knowing it will be appreciated. Giving of your time or wisdom is often just as spiritually fulfilling as giving away money or gifts, and the intangible gift of your presence is received just as well. You may also be inclined to make a loan to someone on the premise that they will eventually pay you back once they're back on their feet. This is a loan built on trust and good faith, knowing that you give something away, it will come back to you.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that this feels like that, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Cichlid?
What?
This feels like cyclical.
Cyclical.
Like what you give, you receive back. Like it's like it's an ecosystem, right? Like we talked about. Mm-hmm. Like it's you're not giving away money in fear because you have trust with the people that you are sharing your wealth with, and hopefully you are creating a space and a tribe, a money tribe, really, of people that you know that you can trust to give to and receive from without shame, guilt, or, you know, the possibility that motherfucker might not pay you back.
Symbiotic. This is so appropriate for this episode and for the end of Money March, because it really says that think about how you can financially support your family or friends in a way that encourages them towards self-sufficiency. So I feel like we have try to take power and finances ourselves, and as a result we're giving it to our community and hoping that you guys jump in and like give this gift to your family and your friends. And we've had to reach out to friends and ask them to help us start this journey. So shout out to our guests today and for everyone this month who's, you know, really come and helped us and help our community. And it's, what is the word again?
Symbiotic.
It's symbiotic, and I'm so grateful. So, okay. We on our witch shit, okay? I don't care. Nobody says. I be going on dates like I'm a witch. And it's true, okay? Because I may not be a shuffler, but I am a tarot card reader through biddytarot.com.
Well, on that note, I'm so excited. I want to introduce our guest, our last guest of Money March, is Tiffany the Budgetnista, your favorite financial educator. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hey, Mila. Hey, Erica. Thank you for having me.
Hey, girl. Hey. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to get financially educated.
me too, because I mean, I've been really honest this month about my finances, and like in the past, I've had a lot of anxiety around finance. I've had a lot of anxiety around budgeting. I don't want to look at my bank account. Like, I just want to ignore it and act like it doesn't exist, and like be surprised when I'm like, you know, not in the negative. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're good. And I want to stop living in that space of anxiety.
How are we gonna be business partners, bitch?
I know.
I'm like, oh no, fuck. We're not well together.
That's why we're here right now.
Yes, I do. I'm starting to feel way better every episode this month with every new person that's helping us. I took your test today.
Good.
And that shit gave me anxiety. Even the questions. I was like, oh no.
Okay. So what level of financial wholeness have you currently achieved? There's no judgment.
Okay, well, we both took it, and we're the same person.
Okay.
30%.
That's not bad.
Sounds like a fail.
It means that, like, it's a start. That means that you have some things that you're working on as it relates to financial wholeness, but there is room for improvement. But quite honestly, there's going to always be room for improvement. And financial wholeness is really kind of like a rolling aspiration, because financial wholeness at 22 is not the same financial wholeness as 32, is not the same as 42. So even let's just say you would say you were 100%, 5 years from now you might be at 50%, because you know you've got you've got another child, or you started another business. So honestly, 30% means that you're in the game. Even if you had 0%, the fact that you took it tells me all that I need to know, that you are ready to go to the next step.
We definitely are. And if you guys are listening, make sure you go to thebudgetnista.com and take her financial holistic quiz so you can find out your score.
Getgoodwithmoney.com, like halfway down the page.
Getgoodwithmoney.com. Sorry. Getgoodwithmoney.com. Wait, I'm looking on your website right here. That's where I took it.
Oh, it must be. Honestly, my team could have put it all over. This is possible. They have
it's
it all
everywhere.
Over as well.
I got a good team.
She got a good team.
I got a good team.
You covered on every website, babe.
Must take test.
But I want to know, like, DM us your scores. Don't, you know, maybe don't, like, you don't have to post them.
I know.
On,
at the end,
stories.
It says screenshot it and post it. I'm like, I'm not posting this. Everybody know my business that I'm over
did,
here
did
flossing
you see the
on
gif,
the gram?
Did you see the gif of the sister who was like, it's okay. It's
I did. I was like, at least she said it's okay.
So we usually start our episodes off with an affirmation, and I would love if you could share an affirmation to, you know, get us ready and get ready to confront ourselves.
Confront ourselves? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so my affirmation is that shame is a liar. Shame will tell you that you are the mistake, not that maybe you've made a mistake. And I want you to remember that when it comes to shame, that it it grows, and when you're solitary and you're quiet and you keep things to yourself, the only way to get rid of shame, the only antidote to shame is voice. So shame is a liar, and the antidote to shame is voice. So you have to tell someone.
Shame is a liar, and the antidote to shame is voice. You know what? I wholeheartedly feel that and receive that, and in so many ways, not even in just finance. I think because, you know, me and Mila started this podcast, and, you know, there's so much shame involved in womanhood and motherhood, and using our voices has really taken away so much shame in my life.
It really has.
And
really
to be
has.
Able to apply that to also my finances.
I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I didn't even consider how I do feel shamed in my finances. And it's something I would never discuss. And it's something I always avoid in conversations. And like,
don't use your voice and just like,
I'm like, let's not talk about that.
And
why are we talking about
like,
that?
Honestly, shame is like, yes, look at her quiet. Shame is getting down on Meg Thee Stallion. He's like,
She don't stay right where she is. Right.
But here's the thing. So using your voice just means that you want to find a safe space. So for me, it's my best friend, Linda. Like when I went through so much with my finances in 2008 during the recession. I lost my job. I went through a scam that left me $35,000 in credit card debt. I was ashamed because I was just turning, I was like in 2009 is when I lost my job. I was just turning 30. And I just remember being like, yo, I have to move back home to my parents' house in my middle school bed, size medium, a small medium for those uninitiated, right? So I remember feeling so much shame that I was not calling my friends. I was not hanging out. I wasn't anything like my support system because I didn't want to admit that I felt like a shame told me that I'm a mistake, not that I made a mistake. So I didn't want to tell anyone. And, you know, but you know, when you got a bestie, she's like, I wish you would stay quiet for weeks. You tried it. So Linda was like calling, coming by the house, calling. So finally, I picked up and she's like, how are you? I'm like, you know, try to fake the fuck. I'm fine. You know? And she was like, girl. And then I just started boohoo crying and I told her everything. I had lost everything. I'd lost my job, my condo, how much I owed all this money in student loan debt and credit card debt. And I didn't know how I was going to manage. And she was like, is that it? She was my safe space. Because she was like, girl, we're all broke. Take a look around. Like, she was like, honestly, Tiffany, we're just turning 30 soon, right? Everyone's been broke in their 20s but you.
Right. Like, you're late to the party.
Welcome. Welcome to the party. Yes.
And we've literally been eating noodles. How I'm laughing now is how I was laughing because you see what she did? Because I was so ashamed because I was like keeping it to myself. Remember I told you shame loves it when you keep it to yourself. Mm. Shame loves it when you don't use your voice. Shame loves it when you're quiet about what you're fearful of. Because shame had told me it's just you, girl. You're the only one. Look at you.
I mean,
you
it probably. Do you think that maybe you have started to identify yourself too as like the friend that had it all together, right?
And like, of course.
So like, yeah, you're like, I missed that part. I didn't do that part, y'all. Like, I don't know about that, but you know, and then suddenly you're like having to face. Okay, I'm not the exception to the rule. You know.
Yes, it humbled me, which I needed honestly, because I was kind of feeling myself. But also it reminded me that like everybody makes mistakes. It's part of it. Michael Jordan doesn't score. Well, he didn't score every single night. LeBron doesn't win every single night. Like this is human. Like it's not something to be ashamed of. I was literally going through a human experience where sometimes mistakes are made and you learn from them and you grow. And so I'm way easier on myself. I give myself the space and the grace to grow. But also, too, what it allowed me to be is, to me, what I was created to be. I was created to teach. But a really good teacher is an even better student. So I had to go through so much of what I went through in order for me to become an amazing student and an amazing teacher. And that's why I started the Budgetnista. That's why I wrote Get Good With Money. You know, I started this whole movement because I knew what it felt like. I learned from it, and I took all of that knowledge and how it felt, because women especially need that, like all that knowledge and how it felt and that mindset shift. And then I poured into the women that I serve.
That's amazing. I mean, I think a lot of times too, just based on the patriarchy, you know, like women have not felt empowered to.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You know, to understand their finances, to get in front of them. We've often allowed the man to kind of control, like, okay, y'all handle it. Yeah, I'll handle this. But obviously times have shifted. Things have been changing. There's so many empowered women. And like, I think the pandemic really also shined a light on how important it is to know what the fuck is going on over there. What are we doing? What are we spending money on? Wait, how much am I paying? I didn't even know that I was paying the subscription for the last, you know, 2 years, $10 out of my account. I mean, it's small, but like little things like that, that kind of add up. You don't look at your bank statement. I know for me, like I don't look at my bank statement monthly. It gives me anxiety.
Oh my God.
But
like,
when
too.
I ever I have, I for sure, every time
you
see
find some shit that
charges, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then, all right, what is this?
But then God forbid you call the bank. I've literally sat, the last time I attempted to be responsible, I called and I was on hold for like 90 minutes. I was like, this is the setup. This is what they do. I can't even dispute
anxiety
this shit.
Anxiety growing and building and growing.
I was like, fuck
honestly,
it.
That's why one of the things, so I have 10 steps to financial wholeness. And one of my steps to financial wholeness is, it's step number 9, which is your money team. Right. So, but the thing is, your money team is not just like potentially like an accountant, or maybe like a financial advisor. It's also an accountability partner. Because I believe that women especially work best in community. Right.
Girl, we all about the tribe over here.
Literally, I remember when things were really, really scary for me, like, you know, when I lost my job and everything, I used to have Linda come over and all the envelopes that were pink and red, which means, girl, you owe us. Right. I was like, Linda, open it. What does it say? And she'd be like, oh, this one's not that bad, girl. It says this $200, girl. Okay, next one. Okay, you know, we gonna make it. But having her be the intermediary, because I was like, those envelopes would have sat forever and ever.
Girl,
but having an accountability partner.
Who's gonna be my Linda?
I know, me.
You girl, can't. You, no, you can't be my Linda.
We can just open each other's mail, because I avoid mail too.
I need someone who's getting like 60% on the financial wholeness test to be my Linda.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna get Ashley.
The best accountability partner is just someone who is working on their finances as well.
Your best
financial.
So, right? Now
so
I'm back
just
in.
Be like, I want to do better. And I'm going to provide a safe, non-judgmental space for you. That's it. They don't have to be some perfect. It's actually better that they're not financially perfect, because you guys are supposed to be growing together, because you're holding them accountable and they're holding you accountable. Just a safe space for you to work through your financial wholeness plan.
Yeah. I mean, even with my friends who I know are financially off better than me, like these are definitely conversations I avoid. And definitely like when I am going or have gone through things, I'm like, I'm not talking to these bitches because they don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, never mind. And just like really like harboring on it alone and in shame, you know, like sweating profusely and like really scared as an adult. And that is scary. And even you having this conversation as a woman, like I remember, first of all, the conversation didn't come up a lot in my household. I remember like certain conversations when like shit went bad, like my dad lost his job. I'm like, we're gonna be poor. And I remember even being like in high school thinking, I don't have time for this. I can't wait to find a rich husband and make the dinner. That was what I was like, I'm gonna be great at cleaning the house and making the dinner. I just want someone to take care of me. And as of like now, life has knocked at my door and I'm a single ass mom. And it's like, bitch, no one's going to take care of you. You got to take care of somebody else.
And honestly, I can't even imagine you living that life, honestly.
I was adamant about it. When I was 14, I was like, fuck all that. So,
but I'll say this, like, let's just say even if, because this happens, right? Let's just say you found a rich husband. He's like a neurosurgeon and he's amazing. And then he goes outside and gets hit by a car.
Boom.
You know, not that he cheats, not that he leaves, but I'm just saying that, like, women, even if you are, you know, that you have someone who does take care of you, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've always said there's no judgment however you navigate money, but it's still so important for women to know how to navigate. Because, like, what if, like, for example, my husband, I want to say, like, a year into us dating, he had an aneurysm. And, like, so for those who don't know, aneurysm is, like, when, like, a vein in your brain. So think about, like, you know, when you blow a balloon, and sometimes it's a little soft spot, so it, like, pokes out a little bit more. And if you keep blowing it, that's usually the part with, that pops in the balloon first, and that's why the balloon pops. Mm. So your vein is similar to that, and there's a soft spot in the vein. So as blood is rushing through, you know, if maybe the flow of blood is too great, it can pop that part of your vein, and then literally you're bleeding in your brain. And honestly, most people don't survive it. Mm. So they found his aneurysm early because he tripped and he fell and he hit his head, and they were like, wait, your head's fine, but bruh, because aneurysms are silent killers. You have an aneurysm.
I know a few people that have died, like, in the shower. Yes, like,
same.
It seems random.
Exactly. So it's like, so thankfully his didn't burst. That's not how they found it. But during that time, like, what if, and I actually was, like, so at first, because we'd moved in together and he was paying all the bills, and then all of a sudden, he couldn't work for, like, 6 months. And so it really fell on me. So I didn't know this, but, like, yo, when you file for, like, disability and all this stuff, some of that stuff didn't literally come. The money didn't come in until he was actually back to work. Mm. So it was like, even, like, he's this great boyfriend. He used to pay all the bills. He was amazing, you know, as I was building the Budgetista. But now, all of a sudden, it fell on me because, not because he was cheating or whatever, or he left me, but because of this random, like, aneurysm. And so I just always remind women, no matter what stage you're in, no matter whether you are, you know, a lady who lunches or a lady who makes lunch. Right. Either way.
Right.
Either way, you got to be about your business and your money because you just never know.
And so that brings me to kind of what I want to, you know, get into today and talking about, you know, how as parents, can we budget better? And, you know, some of us are single parents, some of us are married. And, you know, I was reading on your Instagram, like, having that conversation with yourself about what your budget is, like, actually looking at your finances, but then also, like, having that conversation with your partner. Like, how do you have a conversation with your partner? Like, if you're just starting, maybe you just moved in with your boyfriend, or maybe you just got married and, like, you didn't have the conversation because you've been avoiding it, but you know it needs to be had.
Like, when do you have it? Like, if you've dated someone for years and when you're about to move in, do you have it? Or do you figure that shit out before you move in because you want to know what you're moving in with? I remember being in college, or, like, maybe a little bit after college, and I was dating this girl who was, like, much older than me. She had owned a house. She had a good job. She worked at University of Phoenix. And she was like, how's your credit? And I was like, what the fuck kind of adult conversation?
Are, like, you sure her name wasn't Budgetista? Because I literally asked my husband that, like, week one of date. And I was like, oh, this is cute. Your credit score?
I was like, what the hell? And I was offended.
Because his was low, too. He was like, I don't know. I was like, well, Credit Sesame knows. You want to take a look?
Not credit. So all I need is your social, your right. date of birth. Real quick.
So I say that if you're dating for fun, you know, you guys, you know, like, this person, you know how sometimes you date, you're like, oh, I like this person, it's fun. But if you really think to yourself, this is going to be a more serious partnership, whether it doesn't have to be marriage, it just means, like, a more serious partnership, then that's when you should start having the financial questions, because it's likely that their finances are going to affect yours, you know? And so even if you're going to do the Oprah Stedman thing, you know, so for me, I knew, because by the time I started dating my husband, I was 34. We had dated briefly in our 20s, but then I was like, I mean, the streets need me, so I need to be out here. I need to be out Gotta here go. Having a good time, right? And then
BRB.
Yeah, I know, because, right? You know, you're 20. I was like, girl,
you're like, they were calling. Like,
yes. So then by the time we met again in my mid-30s, I was ready to settle down. And so I knew that. So that's why I asked him about his credit score. Because honestly, by then, I kind of had made this list about, like, what I wanted in a man. And I remember he was such an awesome, like, boyfriend then. And so when we started dating again, I was like, oh, wow, he's still really awesome. you know, even if we don't get married, this is, I want this to be a serious relationship. And so I asked him right away. So once you know that, you can start asking light things, you know, like, I mean, I asked about credit, but you don't have to. A great way to introduce financial conversation into your relationship is to introduce it around a goal. So one of the first things, like, you know, the credit thing was like a lot. But after that, like, he saw that I like to travel. And I remember he was like, yo, we should go on a vacation. And I said, okay, let's start saving together. Not in the same account, but like, let's start like, you know, like a saving plan. Like, you open up a specific savings account just for trips. And then I have my trip account. And then, like, you know, every pay period, we check on our accounts together. And so that's a great way to start that conversation, because it's not stressful. We're talking about vacay here. You know,
right,
but
right.
You get a gauge on how they navigate, because if every 2 weeks when you're checking, your account is growing and theirs isn't, now you're like, okay, maybe this is someone who's not a saver, and that's okay. Because my husband was not. I was like, bruh, how many times? You know, so I realized that for him, I said, okay, he's not a natural saver, but I got a trick. I was like, babe, go to HR and tell them, put some of your money in your regular checking and some of your money in your trip savings account. Mm-hmm. And so when they started doing that, so you see what I mean? It wasn't for me to judge. I wasn't looking for someone who's financially perfect. But let's just say I said to do that, and we talked about it, and then he didn't. And then it was just this buildup of other activity like that wasn't conducive to being strong financially. Then I might worry. But once he did that, he started saving, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about credit after that. And so, like I said, opening the gates with something that both of you guys find amiable, that you're not going to, no one argues over having an amazing vacation. Of course we want to. So make that your first goal collectively together. And then that way you can see how that person navigates with their money and then go from there.
I think that's such great advice that I wish I would have had 10 years ago.
I also feel like it's a form of foreplay, because I, you know, like, it's such a something that I have such anxiety over, because I'm not doing it alone. But I realized, like, even in our partnership, obviously we're best friends and we're business partners. But like, when me and Erica start to see progress in our business and like progress, and like we have an account together, is the first person I've ever had an account with.
Same. I've never even had an account with
the boyfriend.
Man.
Yeah. So we're like, this is my boyfriend. We share an account. Like, should we use the card, babe? we're taking the kids on vacation together.
I love that.
But in this weird, like, non-sexual way, it makes my pussy wet. Because I'm like, yeah, baby, let's get this fucking money, you know? And we can hit goals together. And I feel like when you can do that with any type of partner, especially in a marriage or in a partnership, it kind of makes you see, like, it makes you see that you can check off goals together. You can get to places together, and you can have a nice vacation. You can do that thing. And it's just like, once you overcome that part of the shame,
we need to do that. We need a vacation fund for the kids.
We do.
I love that. I love that you guys do that together. Because to your point, Mila, to your point that, like, what you're really doing is you're exercising that part of your financial brain. Because if you could do that with Erica, then it's like, oh, I could do that with this person. And then maybe I could do that with this. You know, so remember I said before, you were like, you gave me my accountability party with your 30%. No, she's a perfect accountability
bitch,
partner.
I am already found your...
You already found your safe space, and you guys are actually doing like kind of like these extended activities together. It's a perfect place to practice being financially whole together. So that way it radiates out. Because one thing we've learned, and I'm sure you've learned as an adult, is how you show up one way is how you show up other ways. So if you can show up financially responsible with Erica and get better and better, then you will be able to show up more financially responsible in your own life and then your extended life.
And I love the tip of HR, because I think a lot of people don't know that you can do that, you know, that you can utilize the HR department of wherever you're working, and they can allocate your money for you. So you
without the budget. Right. So I told them, because inside the book, Get Good With Money, literally there's a section that says how to budget without budgeting. And so I'll give you the tea. What I said, I'm like, you need four accounts, two checking, two savings. So checking number one is for your spending. This is where you attach your debit card so you can swipe, like swipe or no swiping, right? Mm-hmm. Checking account number two is for your bills. Having a separate checking account, especially for parents, is going to be critical. So you want it, because you want your bills account to not have a debit card. Because when you're swiping, you want to know I did not spend the kids' juice box money, you know? Right? Mm-hmm. And then savings account number one is for emergency savings. So you want to have anywhere from 3 months, 6 months to a year of emergency savings, depending upon the industry that you're in. How quickly can you replace your income? If you're a nurse, like my mom before she retired, 3 months is enough. You're an engineer like my sister, 6 months to 12 months might be ideal. So that's the first savings account. And the second savings account is your goals savings account. So it could be this fourth account might be multiple accounts. So you might have a savings account for travel. You might have one so you can start investing, so you can buy a house. So spending, checking, bills checking, emergency savings, goal savings. And so what I had my husband do once we got married, because I was like, okay, I need you to be more financially responsible. And I realized, you know what? I need to show him how to budget without budgeting. We just did the math on paper on how much he had to put in each account. I was like, take this paper with you to the nice lady at HR. You see?
Wait, what's your sign? Are you a Capricorn? You
I'm a Libra. Huh?
Libra.
Oh, I'm a Libra.
Everything is beautiful and must be organized.
Balance. It's all about balance. You know what Libra
is. Is your closet labeled like my mother? She's a Libra.
No. Honestly, I'm the opposite. I'm the total mess. Right? So I told him, like, you know, go tell the people this is where you're going to put the money. And so now he loves it because it's a budget without budgeting. Literally, his money used to come in, land in one account. Now...
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Do you have an R-rated sense of humor and enjoy learning about mental health? Pod Therapy is the podcast for you. Enjoy a weekly question and answer show where three therapists and a comedian explore the secrets of life, love, and wellness with a healthy dose of irreverent comedy. Pod Therapy, real people, real problems, real therapists. Check out Pod Therapy wherever you get podcasts.
His job would only let him split up to four. Some places will only let you split up to two. Mm. And some places will only let you do one, and that's okay because then you could do the split yourself. Once it lands, you could have those transfers happen automatically. Especially as a parent, you're so busy. Automation is a new discipline. Let it be your BFF, right? Mm. And so as a result, all he cares about and all he has to think about is that first checking account, the one attached to the debit card. He could do whatever he wants with that because he knows that's his spending money. And he knows, did I pay the bills? Sure did. Did I contribute to our emergency account? Sure did. Did I contribute to our goals? Sure did. So when I see him with, you know, new Jordans on, I used to be like, so those are cute. So
excuse me, sir. Was that our vacation fund or
right? But now I know it's not. I know that he swiped his card, you know, and it was money that was set aside for those types of purchases. I'm telling you, it just alleviates. We never really argued over money before, but I'm not gonna lie, there was tension before about like, well, how much did you spend on that? But what about this? And now I'm not worried about it because I know that the money is landing. And that the money that he's using is allocated for him, and the money that I'm using is allocated for me. In a relationship, I love a me, you, us. That's what I like to think about money in a relationship. You don't have to share accounts if you don't want to, but if you are in a partnership, like a long-term partnership, especially if you're living together, there's already an us. You're paying bills likely together. So me, you, us is what I like to think about with money.
I think so many people, because I remember like when I had a job that had HR, them giving me options to have like, you could put this much into this account. I'm like, bitch, I'm putting all that in this one motherfucking account because yes. I need every penny. I think for a lot of people sometimes like, you're like, I don't make enough money to put a certain amount of money here. Like, this is money that I need.
Or if you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, but it's just like you have to start somewhere to even begin that process. And I think for a lot of people, that's so scary because we're always functioning from a place of scarcity. You know, what if I don't have enough to do this? And it's also like you don't want to do the noodle diet. You're like, well, if I want to go do this, I want to have the money, you know, and not really thinking long term. I've been listening, you know, short term L's, long term wins. Okay?
Yeah, sometimes you got to take the short term L for the long term W. And I'll say this, I have lived paycheck to paycheck. I have lived under paycheck to paycheck where my bill said 10 and my money said 8. I'm like, sis, I need you to catch up. So if you are in that position, and honestly, that's okay because that's what happens. Like literally in Get Good With Money, there's a section that says, but what if I'm broke? Right? Because it happens. And so if you are broke, honestly, which means that the money you make in every month is not enough to cover your basic bills, then you have to look at money differently. And this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to give you permission for some things to be late, because what else can you do? So you are going to look at your budget and you're going to ask yourself, what are my health and safety bills? The bills that I must pay to maintain my health, to maintain my safety. So literally there were times when I would look and I'd be like, there's not enough. Verizon, get off my back. Girl, what part of there's not enough? You're just going to have to wait, because I have to buy my asthma pump. I have to pay this rent because I have to have a place to live. I have to buy food. And if there's something left over, okay. But here's the thing. I used to call those companies and let them know I don't have it. Is there a hardship program? Some of them said yes and put me on it, and some of them didn't, and they still kept calling me because, you know, they want their money, and I understand. And I went and I used to send those companies a cease and desist letter because I was like, look, I'm not going to let you stress me out, Zen. But what I will allow you to do is...
Wait, you wrote them a cease and desist letter?
Send me the template. Yeah, I know, for real. No, because here's why. I know it sounds so crazy because other financial folks won't tell you this. But here's the thing. Just because you owe someone, it does not allow you to harass me and to mistreat me. It's just not. It doesn't give you just cause to do that. I owe you. It doesn't mean that you can call me every morning, noon, and night. It got to be like literally my phone would ring and my hand would shake. So I was like, you know what? I Googled cease and desist letter after they called my sister at work. And my sister was a scientist. So they try to be sneaky. They know they try to call your family to shame you. Shame. My sister was a scientist, was working on a cancer drug at the time, and she didn't even give us her work number because she couldn't get phone calls because the company she worked for was so afraid that they would give away those trade secrets. So she's like, yo, you're going to get me fired. So that's when I was like, I have to do something. So I Googled cease and desist letter. I found one. I went down to Staples with my last little 75 cents, and I faxed it. Because it's important that you know that they get it instantly.
What company is this? That they got... Yeah.
No, some of these companies are really bad. So I faxed it. It's important, your cease and desist letter, that you do give them a way to contact you because you want them to. But I said, you can email me here and you can send me letters here. You are no longer allowed to call me at these numbers or any numbers. And by law, there's something called the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act. Right. And so there's a collection of laws that are there to help you, the person that might owe. And so in those laws, one of them is that if you formally request that a debt collector stop calling you, they must by law or they are breaking the law. And so they are very clear on that. So I sent the letter and within a day they stopped. But yes, they could email me and they could mail me, which is fine because you do want to have connection with who you owe. And so when my life got a little better, then I started to pay. I mean, I just, you can't squeeze, what is it? You can't squeeze blood from a turnip. Like, if I don't have it, you have to take care of yourself. You have to put your mask on first. If you have children, you have to make sure your kids have a safe place to live, food to eat, you know, like, so I'm sorry, Cable. I get it. And I know I owe you. I'm not saying I'm not going to pay you, but I'm not going to prioritize you over my child. Right, I'm not going to prioritize you over my health and safety. It's okay to say that. And I promise you, you know, once you find yourself a little woosah, and then you learn to earn. So that's step number 5 in financial wholeness. So financial wholeness is, so in Get Good With Money, it's 10 steps to financial wholeness. So step number 5 is learning to earn, because you do have to learn to earn. Because when you don't have enough money at the end of the month, you either have a spend too much issue or you have a don't make enough issue. And I suspect for most parents, quite honestly, it's likely a don't make enough issue. So you do want to learn to earn, which is something that I teach you. And so over time, you learn to earn, and then you have enough, and then you re-engage the people that you owe. That's what I did. I remember literally, there was a bunch of folks that I owed, and slowly but surely, as I learned to earn, I was able to re-engage and say, okay, how much is it that I owe? Can I work out a settlement? This is what I have. This is what I can do. Next person. How much is it that I owe? It took a number of years, and now here I am. I am literally debt-free like a 5-year-old.
Yes.
I'm talking about debt-free like my no mortgage, no car note, no student loans, amen, like debt-free like a 5-year-old. And so it is possible. In less than like 7 years, I was able to accomplish that. So if you're listening and you're feeling bad and you're feeling ashamed, don't. Because I know exactly how you're feeling. I know you feel like, damn, I should have it all together. How, sis? Was there money class in school? You know, likely not. And even if there was, okay. Like the first time you rode your bike, did you not fall? Imagine right. yelling at your kid when they're learning to walk, like, girl, get your legs together.
Girl,
yeah. What you
doing?
You
can't walk yet? You came out 3 months ago. Shit.
But we don't have those expectations, right? We give our children the grace and the space to learn. We need to do the same for ourselves. Give yourself the grace and the space to learn. I promise you it makes life so much easier. And there is light on the other side of the financial tunnel. I promise. Because I'm over here waving like, come on, sis. It's cute over here.
Right. It is cute.
You look all happy and glowing.
She's glowing. I was living anxiety free. I'm trying to live anxiety free.
For real.
Okay.
And a lot of times I think that anxiety from people calling and stressing you out, because I know I have an avoidance motherfucking issue and I will avoid it and then get the shakes or get like my palm sweat when I think about like someone calling to collect some shit, and it's just the whole thing makes you not deal with it, and that doesn't help either. They'll add fees, they'll add late fees, they'll start taking their shit straight out to your bank account. So there are just so many things that
again, with driving back with the affirmation was today about shame, and it's like sometimes you have to look shame in the face and just say, okay, look, hello Verizon, listen,
fuck you,
you know, and make that call instead of avoiding it, declining that call, not opening that letter.
And we all have done it, you know. There is really no shame, because everyone has done it for the most part. We're not like we don't have, the school doesn't teach us. A lot of times our parents don't teach us. And we are students, you know, we are babies in this space, because it's not something we've done.
But with the idea of learning to earn, like, is that like a matter of like finding a new job?
A side hustle,
like tapping into like what you're good at, or like.
So Get Good With Money, I teach you this. I show you a bunch of ways to learn to earn. First, I show you that like, if you currently have a job, that's one of the best places to see if you can increase what you earn. So I show you how do you prepare to negotiate for potentially to earn more money, to get a raise or to be moved up into a position that pays you more, right? So you want to look currently at where you are, but then also too, you might look for a side hustle. So in the back of my mind, and everyone should do this in the back of their minds, you should have a get out of jail or like the, what is it? Like when you want to break the glass in case of emergency, you should have that in the back of your mind. And behind the glass is a side hustle that you can enact. Like for me now, currently, let's just say shit hits the fan. I'm like, I know for a fact that I can go on social media and say, who would like to do some one-on-one with me for their finances. Right. So I'm not doing that now because I don't need to, but I know that I can, and I can make money regularly doing so. When I was a preschool teacher, because I taught preschool for 10 years before I became the budgetista, my break the glass was I could tutor and I could babysit. And I used to do that when money was low, because who doesn't want an active, fun, vivacious, cute preschool teacher, right, to babysit their kids, right? So it was easy to be like, hey, anybody needing babysitting? And so I used to make a few thousand dollars a summer during the summer when money was low and I wasn't teaching. And so those are the two ways that you can really start leaning in to make money, to learn, to earn, because you have to practice that as well. Having just one source of income is not enough. It's okay to have one source of income, but you should always have if I had to, and I already have that backup, like, you know, I'm really good at baking cakes. Everybody tells me I could do that. You know, dinners are my thing. I could do that. You know what? My friend is always asking me if I'll help her, you know, with her makeup. You know, I could certainly do makeup on the side. So knowing what those things are, like, I have a friend of mine. She's a single mom with two little ones, a five-year-old and a three-year-old. And she's super smart. So one of the things she's been doing is she has been learning to get contracts from the government. So she's taking like these free classes online, and she's like, oh wow, like literally the government sometimes is looking for pencils, and they're like, we'll pay $30,000 for pencils. And then she'll go online and be like, hey, is there a place I could order pencils for $10,000? And then the government is like, then so she learned to write contracts for those types of contracts to say, hey government, yes, I can send you pencils for $30,000. And then she sends them the pencils that she was able to order for the 10, you know? And so that's something that she's learned. That's her hustle on the side to be like, okay, I can learn. And I know another friend, my friend Tila, she was a single mother and she learned to start investing. So trading. So she at her job that was really treating her poorly, because she was like, they don't respect the fact that I actually have children. And so she was like, she saved up as much as she could, and she started to practice like, okay, I'm saving up money and I'm gonna practice investing. It took her a year to get like, you know, to a place where she felt comfortable. she was able to quit, take that money that she'd saved up and trade. So trading is when you buy and sell actively in the market. Like you buy at $2 and then you sell at $5. And then you buy again at $4 and then you sell at $9. So she was living off of the money she was making from trading because she told herself, you know what? I don't want to stay in this situation and circumstance. I want to be here for my children. I want to work at a job or make money in a way where I could still be this active mom. So there are ways out there for you to make additional income. You just have to be...
Right. I think that's the thing, too, is that people get so, you know, I guess stuck in their ways, essentially. And it's fearful, like, I don't know if I could do that. Could I do that? And it's like... If you don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck, you can do that.
Yeah, you have to evaluate what you can and cannot handle and what you can and cannot do, you know. I waitressed for a long time, during and after college, and it was such quick, easy money. You know, I would just, like, make $300 a night, blow that shit, go back to work, do it again. And then at the end of the college, I didn't have shit to show for it. You know, I made thousands of dollars and was, like... doing a bunch of nothing, but I hadn't anything to show for it. And I attempted to finish college. That didn't work out. My parents stopped paying and didn't tell me. I'm like, damn, what am I going to do? I was in a different city. You know, I was alone and I started waitressing. That was my savior. But when I moved back home, I was super embarrassed to move back home because I was like, I didn't even come back with the shit I went to go get, which was a degree. And then I start waitressing again, but I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go get a trade. And so I went to esthetician school. I found like the cheapest esthetician school I could find was like the LAUSD version. And I was like, one thing's for certain, three things for sure. If I get this shit done in 9 to 12 months, at least I'll have it and no one can take it from me. And that's what I did. And I've had I do lashes, I do brows, but like, you know, I knew I had to do something or else I was going to be waitressing forever. And I was realizing quickly, like, that wasn't my, and I couldn't do that forever. And so it's just like, so I think sometimes people are unwilling to like take the risk to take the time and invest in themselves a little bit. And sometimes you've got to pay a little bit to come out and have, you know, the trade or the certificate or whatever. So I think sometimes, you know, you have to think out of the box. You can't always rely on this, these jobs, these corporate companies to pay your bills, because the truth is a lot of times they don't give a shit. They don't care about you and little Johnny, you know, and they're nice for like, if you love what you're doing and there's human resources and there's a 401k and there's health insurance. Cause that's another thing. Like, oh God, I'm stressed. I don't have health insurance.
No, honestly, Mila, that's good, because here's the thing. Sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. I know you feel like, oh, I can't handle it. I'm like, I'm sorry. You didn't give birth to a whole human being? You know, like, do you get dressed every day? You brush your teeth? You make sure this one eats? You make sure... isn't that so crazy that, like, women will tell us, oh, I can't... I'm sorry. Who pushes out whole babies through their vaginas? You're built strong and built for tough, right? True. No, but for real. So what I find with women when it comes to money, that it is not a capability issue. Of course you're capable. You know, for you to have the wherewithal to say, you know what? Wow, I was cut off. The finances were cut off. I'm going to waitress. And to be able to make tips, make money. And then for you to be like, you know what? To have the wherewithal to say, you know what? I can see forward. And I'd like something different. Let me get something that can't be taken. When you said that, I'm like, there's nothing more genius, because that's exactly what happens when you learn something that it can never be taken from you, no matter what. And then for you to go get your esthetician's license, and now you have that, and now every girl wants a lash and a brow and all the things, you know? So I just, to me, it shows me that what you're saying about yourself is not true, because that's not how you're navigating in life. It's just not. It's just that because as a mom and as a woman, you're like, I just got to get it done. But then when it comes to this, you're like, oh, I just, no. That Mila's like, girl, what are you talking about? We boss up every single day, right? Don't we eat, you know? Because if you were someone who were like, because the way you navigate, say, like your bills, I'm like, I'm just going to avoid. Imagine you said that when it came to food and shelter. You would be hungry and homeless. Like, we just won't eat tonight. You don't do that. So you right. have that in you. I want you to bring that Mila over to here. And so for those of you who are listening, you are the Mila as well. I want you to understand that sometimes it's a confidence issue, but it's not a capability issue. Mm. You are more than capable. You are. I promise you, you are. And sometimes we just need that guidance. Honestly, it's the reason why, you know, like I teach. It's the reason why I started the Budgetnista. It's the reason why I wrote Get Good With Money, because I wanted like women like y'all who I knew had the capability, and if they just had like literally like a sister girl to hold her hand and say, okay, girl, just do this. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Yeah, I hear you. Don't worry about them other people. Send a cease and desist. Tell them go away. We're working on some things right now. Like, just do this. Step one, we're going to work on your budget. So these are the 10 steps to financial wholeness. It's budget. That's one. Two, savings. Three, credit. Four, debt. Five, learning to earn. So those are the foundational components of financial wholeness. And you're like, okay, we got that. And then I walk you through the next one. Six, investing. Seven, getting good with money. Eight, net worth. Nine, getting your money team. 10, estate planning. And so that's the next level of financial wholeness. And so needing someone to walk you through, and that's what, it's like the ultimate adulting guide, Get Good With Money. Because I walk you through, you hear the way I talk now is the way I talk in the book. Like, there's no financial jargon. It's really just walking you through step by step these 10 components of your financial life. It's going to create the most amazing financial foundation that you can have. So when things come, because things are going to come, we're adults, that you will have this strong foundation so you can't be easily shaken. You know, that you can weather financial storms, you can weather financial winters, and you can grow this humongous, beautiful financial house. That's what I want for, because I speak to women, that's what I want for all women. I want you to understand that you are capable. You might not be confident right now, but I will help you with the confidence, but you are more than capable of achieving your financial goals.
I'm so excited to get good with money because I am like pumped. And you know, we talk a lot about manifestation and like, you know, visualizing our goals. And like, I personally am always talking about being on a yacht with my friends and like yacht money. And I'm not really sure how I'm going to get, like, knowing how I'm going to get there, but don't have the financial steps. But even this conversation has made me really pumped and motivated to, because I want to have a net worth of $250 million. I do want to have an estate so that when we leave our kids, they have, you know, we live in the Valley. I have a lot of friends who have trust funds and you know, turned 18 and 21 and bought homes and, you know, were financially prepared because their parents were preparing them. And I was like, oh, that's white people shit. But it's not. You know, and it's not just what I've seen. And it's just like, I've never, just seeing that and saying that was so detrimental to what I want long term. And it's really prevented me from digging in, getting a shovel and being like, where are we going to start? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, and even prior to this month, because we talk about a lot of things and dispelling shame in a lot of areas, but like, we don't really talk finances. And like, my first introduction to finance was like Susie Orman, this white woman, you know. And I'm just so happy that you're doing this, you're making this accessible to us. And because times is changing, baby, and we're all about to be on the yacht.
We need a new face of personal finance. Okay.
Yes. Okay. The budget Nisa. Okay.
And honestly, I would love to make sure you send me your address, because I will send you a copy of Get Good With Money, because I want to see the progress. I want to see y'all rock and roll, because to me, like, you know, you women, we are leaders. We're the first teachers and the first leaders in our community. So as you guys work through it, you know, I encourage you to bring your audience along, because it's important for people to see that you don't have to be perfect. This is what I love about financial wholeness. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to make a lot of money. It's not about how much money you make. You can achieve all aspects of financial wholeness. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. None of those things matter. You can achieve financial wholeness as a 21-year-old just graduating college. You can achieve financial wholeness as a doctor making $300,000 a year. You can achieve financial wholeness as a teacher making $50,000 a year. Because I hate when things are exclusive, right? So meaning that information in particular. So people think like, well, all I have to do is just strive for financial freedom. I get a pile of money. I don't got to work anymore. Honestly, that's not enough, because guess what? I achieved financial freedom. I had gotten myself a pile of money enough to not work anymore, and I was a whole financial mess. My insurance was like, oh, girl, we hope don't nobody slip and fall, because all your money gone, right? And like, my estate plan was like, I hope you want your sisters to be pulling each other's hair out for your money, because where's your will, sis? And I was like, ooh, snap. So there were aspects even in my life that were a mess, and that's when the light bulb came on for financial wholeness, because I thought, oh, financial freedom ain't really where it's at. I mean, it's great to work toward that, but it's not enough. That, like, you have to holistically take care of your financial life, Tiffany, if you're going to be okay. And so I think that financial freedom is, for some people might achieve that, but financial wholeness, all people, all women can achieve financial wholeness.
I almost, like the way, when you describe this, I'm almost thinking of it as like, you know, not a diet, but like going on a good, like a well-eating plan. Like we spend so much time thinking about our, you know, our wellness and our bodies. Well, some people do, and we go in and out of taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But like having the wholeness of like, mm-hmm. okay, this is what I need to be healthy. I need to eat these veggies. I need this. Yes. Let me analyze, why is my stomach hurt all the time? Oh, probably because I need to eliminate dairy. I mean, I don't know mm-hmm. why suddenly it's like equating food to like financial wholeness.
No, but you're right.
Like, well, like the wholeness of being a balanced human being in right. general. I can't yep. be really successful at work and just be like this really, you know, great mom and great wife or whatever, and or great like literary person, but I'm failing in other areas of my life. If yes. my body doesn't feel good, if my budget yes. isn't good, if my finances are good, if my child's not taken care of, if something mm-hmm. happens to me, I have neglected an area of myself and I've mm-hmm. not achieved balance. And I think we neglect that so much because we don't hear it this way, but yes. there's so many areas of our lives that have to be worked on for us to achieve that ultimate wholeness. Yes. Especially, and I think it's we have a huge responsibility as mothers and as parents, because this is our opportunity to break generational trauma yes. and cycles. And so my daughter won't be like, that's white people shit. No, that's mm-hmm. your shit. This yes. is your shit. You know, that is so important, because it isn't white people shit. It's just people shit. And these are mm-hmm. things that are so important. So.
So I'm yeah. so as your accountability partner.
Oh, now you okay? Now we're back on.
As your we're accountability back on partner, I am going to encourage you to go through. Well, we're going to do this in our own business. So go through and like what our costs are exactly right now, right? And like mm-hmm. what we're bringing in, but also to take a step further in your own personal finances and in mine. We need to go through our bank statement this month. See what we're spending.
Let's wait to the 50 that just paid rent.
See? Don't avoid.
I'm joking.
I'm your accountability partner. And see, like, just so we, like, you have a clear, and I have a clear, too, like, what exactly am I spending money on? And like,
and I want to take it even up a notch, because okay. Tiffany's book came out yesterday, which mm-hmm. I'm about to dig into immediately.
Yes.
And I would like for our audience and the people listening, I want you to get the book, and I would really like if we could be accountability partners on Patreon together.
Oh, yes.
I would really like for us to like really embark on this. I know mm-hmm. we've like, we had EYL on. They have an academy that me and Erica have registered for, and mm-hmm. we've committed to each other that we can't just be talking this shit and actually yeah. not exercising it, or else we'd be like hypocrites. So I really want to encourage everybody listening to purchase Tiffany's book mm-hmm. that came out yesterday.
Yeah, and you can go to getgoodwithmoney.com. That's where you can purchase it.
Awesome.
And let's all get good with money together.
Are we starting April 1st?
Let's give them an opportunity to get the book. Let's okay. start April 15th.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Which is around, isn't that like tax season?
Yeah. Oh, perfect yes. timing.
Yes.
Oh, another source yeah, of my anxiety. Awesome.
Oh, but there's, oh God, don't. But there's no better time than now, especially because we just watched this year that we all had. And like, that was the source of my anxiety, because I do work for myself. I don't have like a backup plan. And I'm like, I like, as were a lot of people, there was fucking panic. Do we have toilet paper? Do I have a savings? Do I have gold? No. You know? So it's just like, I really want to encourage just like black women and black people and people of color yes. in general to get on and do this shit, because it's a revolution happening.
It
there
is
a shift happening.
A financial revolution.
And it's time.
We are the ones that are going to save ourselves, and we have the ability to do so. And so, like, I'm just really excited about seeing how many of us are like getting on the train. Like, I was just talking that. So I have a podcast called Brown Ambition, where my podcast partner Mandy, we talk about money, career, and life in this brown skin. And we're just seeing more and more black and brown women, mostly, like really getting like want and asking, because we take questions from the audience, and the questions they're asking are just so awesome, because it shows that like these women are like, I'm wanting to do better. I'm wanting mm-hmm. to learn more. Please show me. And so I just, it warms my heart, because 10 years ago, like nobody wanted to hear when I started the Budgetista. And so I love the fact that just how many women are flooding in, because it gives me hope, because if you really want to change a family, you have to change a woman. If you want to change a community, you have to change a woman. If you want to change a neighborhood, you have to change a woman. If you want to change a nation, you have to change a woman. It's through women all things change, and so, and all things grow and flow through. So I just thank you ladies for having me on.
Thank you so
I can't
much.
Wait for you to get good with money and to go get good with money and go get
yes,
good.
Yes. I can't wait either. I'm for the first time in my life, I'm feeling pumped and not like anxious as hell. So I'm very excited. I will see you on the yacht.
Yes.
Where would you like to, where would you like to bank? I mean, where
ooh,
do you,
no, let's
dock?
Go to,
dock.
I always wanted to go to, oh, what is that place? It's in Italy. It's like the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, yes. We will see you in the Amalfi Coast.
Yes.
We will have the big yacht. We will sail the ocean and it will be amazing and we'll be debt free.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. You guys, so make sure you go follow the Budgetnista. We'll leave all of her information in the episode description. Make sure to go join our tribe at Patreon because we are going to do this. So if you haven't joined the tribe at Patreon, that's patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices. Thank you, Tiffany.
I've been such
a fan for so long. I'm so grateful that you came on and just gave us all this knowledge. So thank you, thank you.
No, thank you for
having
me.
And all the love and success for your book. And
beyond.
And beyond. And that's it.
Thank you, ladies. It's been awesome.
All right. Take care.
Hey, guys. Have you joined Patreon, where we offer even more juicy content?
Yes, y'all. We have secret episodes, secret segments, and some very personal blog posts that we don't share on the interwebs. So make sure you go check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices.
Here's a little sneak peek.
It's like a time of big of power that's been buried. And so I felt really compelled to start teaching this in my community and explaining the powers that we had during this time. So in when you're menstruating, that's the time where you can manifest much more rapidly and be more intentional of what you're doing. If you don't set your intentions while you're, you have to set your intentions while you're menstruating. After you menstruate, we enter.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.